This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director with Alan Green of Lifelight. And Lifelight is which year coming up this summer?
Well, this will be number 16. Am I getting it? 16, I think. Yeah, 16.
This program's been 37 years. We've been with you since the beginning.
You have. Yeah, you bet.
I'm bringing up every once in a while with you. We did do a thing at the fairgrounds with Tommy Netherton and forget who the other groups were that filled the grandstand. It was kind of a little bit of a predecessor for you, but I can't remember what year that was.
That goes way back. Music has always been a powerful tool to reach people, and of course that's why that in the church it's so powerful. Hymns and spiritual songs, as the Bible says, to speak to one another, and through that, and God used music to reach us years ago, and I guess it's always been kind of a big part of our life.
Well, there's something about words, there's something about seeing it, there's something about writing it, but hearing it in music is almost, you might say, heavenly. We can't really put into words what that music really does.
Well, of course, I believe that music originated in heaven with God. I mean, it says the angels are singing. It's historically, some theologians believe that Satan himself, when he was a fallen angel, that he was music was his thing. But angels are always around the throne. It says singing, and all throughout history, people have used music, whether it's before a great battle or whether it's in celebration.
Well, Christian music is very popular on the radio waves now and the internet. I think a nun has been very popular on the Voice that's done in Italy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people you see on these contests are actually coming out of the church gospel. Say even a lot of rock and roll came from gospel.
Oh, it certainly did. We hear the old stories of Elvis Presley and starting out as a gospel singer and getting the experience in the church. Of course, then it grieves us when someone starts out in gospel music. You look at Miley Cyrus and how hopeless her life must be right now as she's looking at so many other ways to use everything, including music, to express herself.
If they have that in them, it comes back, I hope, in the future.
Alvin, I agree.
We usually have you on Easter morning. I was just discussing with you before we turned on the mic that I thought maybe we should do it a little bit before Easter so that people maybe say, maybe we should go to Easter Sunday and have time to prepare and actually go.
You bet.
It's one of the two times a lot of people only go during the year.
Well, we talk about Christmas and Easter really being the major holidays for Christians. And Christmas, obviously the birth of Christ, and the Bible says that Emmanuel, it means God with us. And then Easter, celebrating really the resurrection of Christ. And some people know, they see that Jesus was hanging on a cross. They maybe see a cross at a church and they know of his death, but they don't understand the power of his resurrection and that there were witnesses that saw that. So I think you're right. I think preparing for Easter, we need to evaluate, what does that mean? Maybe look at the Bible and say, what's the story of Easter? It's certainly, some people think, well, Easter maybe just about the bunny rabbits and the eggs and the fun time, but there's a meaning to Easter, and it's the Christian holiday of the resurrection of our Lord.
Well, even for the non-Christian, Easter and Christmas is a time of family getting together. That's point, I guess, to make. But now Easter seems to always be on a different Sunday. It goes anywhere from March to end of April. It has to do, explain why.
Well, and I don't know if I can explain that appropriately, but it fluctuates based on the Passover. So it fluctuates on the calendar based on when that time, that celebration occurs. So it's not an exact date every year.
It has to do with the moon, I think, a little bit. And the Orthodox Church actually bases it on the, well, maybe not as accurate, Julian calendar. So in that case, after January 3rd, or after April 3rd, so we're kind of in the Easter season, depending on which calendar you look at or whichever on that.
But, well, and John, churches, you always hear people talking about, well, there's the people that come on Christmas and Easter. I applaud that. I mean, if you're out there and you're like, well, the only time I go to church is on Easter, I think I'll go. Great. I mean, I think that's, we want to welcome people into the church. We want to welcome people to evaluate, okay, what is Easter? What are the claims of Christ? What is the Christian faith all about? And so I hope people do show up in churches on Easter. I hope they turn in their Bibles. I hope they watch movies, whatever media it is, to learn what Jesus said and what it's all about.
Do you have any comment on the movie that's out right now?
The Son of God, Son of God, I know Roma Downey, they produced that. It's an excellent production. I know they said, we're not trying to be Bible scholars. We're just trying to point people to a place where they can at least have that discussion. They can sit down and say, okay, this is about Jesus. This movie's about the love of Christ. What else did he say in the Gospels? I know it's not intended to be a word-for-word, Bible movie, but I think anything that can get people talking about Christ and getting them into the Word to read what he really said is a good thing.
And even the movie Nora. Two of the big blockbuster movies out right now are really Christian movies.
Well, yeah, Noah, you know, there's some controversy over that. Obviously, I've kind of been on record of saying that they did approach that and said that it was based on the Bible, but it really isn't. You know, Daniel Ornarsky is an atheist, and, you know, they presented that movie quite a bit different. I know the Islamic faith is very upset about it and won't show it in most of those countries because it's not really the Noah of the Bible or the Quran. But, you know, it's again, I guess if those things could be used to get people to say, okay, well, what does the Bible say about Noah? What does it say about Jesus? That'd be a good thing.
You know, and the internet. There's a guy that just wrote a book that's kind of being talked about on the internet now where Christ, maybe in his formative years, maybe actually traveled to Britain. And they're basing it on some archaeological this and that. But like I say, talking about it is good, though. But let's talk about the fact that Lifelight is based on the fact of bringing the church out of the box.
It is. You know, our whole call has been taking the church outside the walls. We don't think that's a new calling. I think that if we look in the Bible, and, you know, I'm looking here in the Bible now, we talk about what is Easter all about. This is what the Apostle Paul talked about with the resurrection of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, I would remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received. And he said that I delivered to you as a first importance that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And then that he appeared, later says he appeared to 500. So really, Christ walked the earth. He died. He was buried. And then it says he rose again from the dead. And there were witnesses to that effect. So that's what we celebrate on Easter. At Lifelight, that's what we proclaim. We look at the Gospels and say, you know, here are the things that Jesus said. He made some bold claims, and we just pretty much convey what he said from his word, the Bible, and we let people evaluate that news for themselves. And we call that the good news.
300,000 people at Lifelight just about every year. What's been going on since we saw you at Lifelight last Labor
Day?
Well,
some big things. We call this our reset year, and when we say reset, first, it's a reset year practically. There's some things that we're doing different at the festival, which I'll get into in just a second. People have asked about the tickets. I'm going to explain that. But reset for us means more than that. For us, reset, and maybe it starts in my own life, in our own lives, reset means that there needs to be a supernatural reset in our lives as people. There needs to be a reset in the communities, the churches, the government, that we would pray and call on God to heal our land, to heal our hearts. That starts with what we call in the Bible repentance. It starts within the church. That repentance means we would say, God, we want to turn from our wicked ways and look toward to you and you alone. So that when we say reset, that's our prayer this year. We're resetting some things at the festival. It'll be probably better than ever in terms of bands. I mean, we had some incredible bands this year, Michael W. Smith and Skillet and, you know, Sanctus Real and King and Country, some great acts, Colton Dixon. But the reset factor is changing maybe the way things are done. Our message never changes, but some of the methods do change. We're have tickets this year. So many people have said to us, boy, you know, if you could pay for that festival ahead of time and as a way of honoring some of the sponsors that put in a good portion of that, pay for a good portion of the festival, people would be willing to give a little bit ahead of time. So right now, if you go to lifelight.org, you can click on tickets and people can donate $5 or $500 or whatever they choose to donate, or they can click the next box, which says no charge, you know, free tickets. Print 10 tickets if you'd like, give them out to your friends. We're hoping this is a way to get people involved and maybe get churches really involved, because again, churches would print maybe 10 tickets at a time as no-cost tickets that they would give away and use as invitations for people to come. That ticket, when they show up at the festival gates, has turned into a wristband. Obviously, a much more organized way for us to do it, an organized way for us to keep track of how many people are coming. So when they ask, well, how many people were there? Well, this is how many tickets came through the gate.
Good way to pay it forward.
Exactly.
How do you pay for, you know, you ended up with a lot of bills at the end of Labor Day, and are most of them all paid off? Now, you kind of jump off the cliff every year.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I misspoke a little bit earlier. I said this was the 16th festival. This will be the 17th festival. We've been doing a festival every year since 1998. People have followed what has happened over those years. You know, we've changed, we've evolved, moved to different locations until we ended up in our permanent home in Worthing. Paying for the festival, we're a faith-based ministry. So just like a church or any nonprofit organization, our only funding comes from individuals who say, we like what you're doing. We like it when we hear that you're the church outside the walls and that you are presenting the gospel according to what's written in the Bible. So we seek donations. God has been faithful through, you know, in and through so many people. So the ministry always sustains itself. We're in a really good place right now as we move forward. But we're asking people to help us pay for the festival part of the ministry ahead of time this year. Right now, we've just finished a five-city tour, actually five cities, and then again five more cities. So it's been 10 cities that we've been in the region, Spencer, Iowa, all the way to Aberdeen, South Dakota, Mitchell, and around the region. And our focus this year and part of this reset is to focus on the region here in South Dakota. We've done a lot of global things, and we'll go back, you know, to Guatemala, I think, in 2015. But for 2014, we want to really focus on the community here. And each city that we're in and the festival is a reminder that there's so many people that are hurting or looking for hope. And that brings us back to what Easter and the resurrection is all about.
17th year, you're talking more than a couple generations now that have been apart.
Yeah, that tells you how old I am, John. That is really neat, though, because people will say, you know, now, I mean, I was coming to the festival. Some people have come, you know, for 10, 15 years. So maybe we've run into a few that have been every year. You know, this will be their 17th. And so their kids have grown up doing this. Their family has made this a tradition. And some of them, they're actually people met and got married at the festival. Or now their children are married and they're coming back to the festival. So that's really a neat thing to see.
Let me name a few things. Texas, Mexico. Mm-hmm. You've been doing a lot in the past, I know, there.
Well, we've done Missouri, for example. This will be our fourth year in Missouri, and the Missouri folks have a church camp that is turned into a festival ground. That festival is the last week in June. Again, you can go to lifelight.org and see it. But that really is controlled and run by the Missouri, Mike and Trisha, Missouri at Miracle Hills Ranch. Texas, we did last year, and we launched something there, we think. The people there are trying to do their own thing there now. So Lifelight won't go back to Texas, but we feel like we did an event there. We just did Ethiopia a few months back. That was an incredible journey. It was a festival and a missions trip. And you go to Ethiopia, you go to Guatemala, Haiti, those places, you come back with an entirely different perspective. And in two ways. One, you come back broken to see the faith of the believers there, the simplistic life, and yet the happiness that you see. So that's always a big paradox. But also, you come back feeling like some of the faith of the believers there, some of the goals and visions they have for reaching their nation, kind of puts us to shame sometimes here.
You've been to Pakistan. You've been to the dangerous places in Mexico. I guess there's a lot of work that is paying off. You're standing on the shoulders of a lot of things that you have accomplished.
You know, it's been God, and I'm always humbled to think that God has allowed, you know, my wife and I have been in ministry. We have a wonderful team at the Lifelight office. The team really runs that ministry, but God has worked in and through us, just ordinary people, and all we've ever done is just said yes. And sometimes we've said yes, and people have said, you really want to do that? I mean, you really want to go to Pakistan? And yet God has been faithful in all those cases.
You have a little bit of a connection with Billy Graham.
Well, you know, we've modeled, I guess, some of our festivals out of Billy Graham. We're really Luis Palau festivals, which is, other than Billy Graham, Palau has done probably more festivals around the country other than the Graham organization. And I'm part of that cabinet with a fellow evangelist with Palau. It's been great to get advice from folks like the Graham organization, the Palau organization, the Next Generation Alliance, organizations that we partner with in some cases, or if we don't partner, we at least are able to consult with, and there's no competition in ministry like this. It's the more that people get out there with the message of Christ, the better.
Just connecting some of the dots of the generations there a little bit. Michael W. Smith, a lot of people can relate to him because he has had some struggles through his life, and he's been in those shoes, and when he talks, he talks from experience.
He does. You know, it's interesting. I've heard Michael, and the last time he was at Lifelight, a few years back, I think it was maybe 07, 08, 08, I believe it was. And he said, you know, I'm all about grace at this point in my life. He said, I don't need to accomplish anything more. I don't need to prove anything more in my career. You know, I've made some mistakes in my life, but I have experienced firsthand the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ. So it's great to have Michael coming back this year. I know that he will minister through his music and his words across generations. And again, that brings us back to, you know, the Bible says that for we are saved by faith through grace, and that it's not of the works of ourselves, it's the grace of Christ.
Well, we could talk forever, but let's talk about the Lifelight coming up on Labor Day, because people can make plans, they can schedule their calendars, they can talk about the things. One thing that's new this year?
Well,
besides the tickets.
Yeah, this year we are focusing more on, be the music, the message is always in many speakers. This year we've got four different speakers at Lifelight. One is a young man, a very young guy. I don't know if Nick is 30 yet. Nick Hall speaks all over the country. He's a huge following. He's really kind of the reset movement is really out of Nick Hall and the Pulse movement. And he has a desire to see thousands, maybe millions young people gather in 2015 in Washington, D.C., and not to call upon any political agenda, but just to call the nation's young people back to Jesus, back to reset in their life. So Nick Hall will be speaking. We have a friend from Birmingham, Alabama, Scott Dawson, who will be speaking. We have Ken Ham, who will be speaking Sunday morning. Ken Ham has caught a lot of controversy because he believes in Genesis to Revelation, believes the whole Bible. He talks about creation, and, you know, he had the debate with Bill Nye, but he'll bring a great message. On the other end of the scale, we'll have Eric Samuel Tim, who does painting but also shares about the grace of Christ in his life. And then we have lots of music. The festival itself, though, will be more than that again this year, but it will be there'll be a little more downtime. All the stages won't be running all the time. We've focused a lot of things back to just that main stage in the evening and then the alternative with the sold-out stage. So a lot of things they've seen before with some new things this year. Circus. We have been doing a circus act this year where they're actually doing the high wire walk and doing kind of the juggling and kind of a whole circus performance at the children's area.
You have to have faith to do that too. The facility now at Worthington, it's been a few years there. You've been building on that. What are some of the things that people can help with that you're going to be doing between now and Labor Day?
Well, we need people to sign up as volunteers this year. I call them warriors, not volunteers, because they're warriors for Christ. In advance this year, we will have we have a plan, a master plan on the ground. So there's things that can be done well in advance. One of those things is, you know, a month prior to the festival, putting up fencing, helping with parking, helping with garbage, building some things ahead of time. Even in the next couple months, we could use people that would kind of start on some of the buildings and some of the cleanup on the grounds as we prepare to get it ready.
Some of the most interesting traffic directors I've ever seen in my life are at Lifelight.
They always say fun. They really love it, even though their face is full of dust.
Are there any needs as far as you've done a lot of electrical, you've done a lot of staging, you've done a lot of construction, but is there anything that people can help with as far as materials or any kind of project?
If they check with the Lifelight office, we're building a list on that. We, at some point, want to put in a more permanent main stage to keep from renting items. The thing is we're always needing, we have to rent tents every year. So we do own one of our own tents. If someone had a commercial tent that they wanted to donate, or chairs or tables, we're doing more landscaping this year. And so there's a landscaping team and people could help, once the ground is, the frost is out of the ground, we'll start on some of those plans.
Nice to talk about things in the summertime.
It feels
warmer with all this winter. It's like we're going to go from winter to summer. But people can go to your website. Tell us about that.
Website, lifelight.org, or the Lifelight Facebook page, and we have news continually on there. On the website, there's also resources to help people. We have devotionals on there. The website also would tell you what concert tours are coming. We're really right now starting a list of towns that maybe want us to come there. You know, we get these heartbreaking stories from small towns that say, you know, we love the Lifelight Festival. We don't want to wait a whole year. We come to the festival. Can somebody come to our town? You know, maybe it's a little bit of music, but maybe somebody can come and speak to people. There's people that have lost loved ones, or there's either suicides that have taken place. I understand there's been 8 suicides maybe in the last 7-8 months here in the Sioux Falls area. So we feel that the hope that we can offer is by bringing the message of Jesus Christ to those cities. And so we're starting to establish a little list of towns that we could go to, and we'd love to hear from folks on that.
Are you looking for any local talent?
We do. Actually, we have a, if you click on lifelight.org on the Facebook, right on the main page, you can try out as a band. And some of those bands are around the country, but a lot of them are local. And actually, Julie's our festival director, has a lot of local bands playing in the coffee house stage area. And so we're always looking for more local talent to include.
Al Green, I have known you for many years. I know that you're always looking down on the horizon as to what's on the drawing board maybe for 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Well, we know God's called us to continue this festival. I mean, the festival, you look at what happens in Worthing, just 12 miles south of Sioux Falls, and it's God that is doing this. It's been a movement. It's been something that affects people across generations and families that come every year. So the festival, we have a long-term vision for improving the grounds, a permanent stage, maybe a chapel. Part of our long-term vision is a training center there. Beyond the festival, though, the ministries that have been launched, and there's so many people that have stories of, hey, I really felt like God was calling me to this, so they've gone into ministries of their own. Part of our vision is around this region. We're doing little events and one-day events that we're part of. A lot of those are not Lifelight events, but they're people that have started something similar, and we get an opportunity to either speak at those events or help consult and put those events together. So we want to see more of that growing. It doesn't need to be a Lifelight event. It just needs to be about Jesus. Globally, we continue to partner with others, and part of our long-term vision is to go back to places like Ethiopia. We've been invited, obviously, many times back to Pakistan. We pray about how we can continue to bless those folks and support them. Beyond that, our goal is really the first chapter of Acts. The strategy is pretty clear. Biblically, as Christians, we're called to be outside the walls. It says you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. It says there in the Bible, first in Jerusalem was their model, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we're trying to follow that model.
Maybe somebody could put together a bus tour going down to Missouri for the end of June.
That'd be great. You know, some people have done that, but yeah, contact us at Lifelight, office@lifelight.org if you want to be part of the Missouri event.
What date is that in June?
Missouri is the third week of June, so I think that's like 24th, 25th of June.
So if anybody feels like they want to be a part of it this summer, or maybe they're taking the summer off or got school vacation or whichever, they can contact your office. Tell us about your office. It's at, 33rd and?
33rd and Western Avenue.
Next to the church.
Faith Temple is the church there. Faith Temple, they're outside the walls feeding people every week. They do that at the fairgrounds, but been an excellent excellent church to share a parking lot with.
Need any volunteers to help at your office, I guess is what I'm saying.
We do need interns. We're looking for interns and volunteers this year. Again, they could check at the Lifelight office, and there are a number of things that we do during year-round that people could help out with.
And it's Lifelight, LifeLight.
Correct.
One word.
One word.
And tell us, I guess, you know, I've got about a minute left. What makes all this worthwhile that you do this all year?
I'll tell you what makes it worthwhile, John. You know, years ago, God reached and rescued me. He rescued my wife. He used a businessman to explain to me, pretty much get in my face and say, well, what's going to happen when you die, Alan? Do you understand? Do you know if you can go to heaven and what that's based on? And I couldn't answer that question. I said, well, I guess I've been a church boy. I hope I've been good enough. And he explained to me that the claims of Jesus, that it's not by our righteousness, it's not by our works, it's only by surrendering our lives to Christ. It's only by recognizing that there's a perfect and holy God, and we are imperfect and sinful people. In fact, we've sinned against God. And if we're willing to say, God, I'm a sinner. In my heart, I want to turn from my sin. I want to commit my life to you. That's what makes all of this worth doing. We see people doing that all the time, both at the festival, at the concert tours, just even in conversation. And that's why we do this, is because there's eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Actually, we've got a couple minutes.
Okay, good.
A festival, we started out talking about music is hard to put into words, but it's words put into music. It is heavenly, as you say, from the church has always been about music. You know, the Salvation Army, you learn how to play a trumpet and trombone.
Salvation Army Band, yeah.
Yes. But there's something about the music on stage that happens at LifeLight that has a meaning, almost a life of its own?
Well, one of the things we find at the LifeLight Festival, I'll just use a couple of examples. There's a young man that came a couple of years ago, and he came because we had a band called Skillet. Now, Skillet is a rock band. Okay, they've crossed over. You hear their music on NFL, Fox. But during that concert, John Cooper, the lead singer of Skillet, he looked out at the crowd, and he said, "There is a God, and he loves you." And he said, "That's what we've been singing about." And then he quoted this in the scripture. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation unto all who believe." Well, this young man was sitting in the audience, standing in the audience, and he came because he liked the music of that band. Later that year, he didn't do it that night, but later that year, he surrendered his life to Jesus, and his life has not been the same. He actually serves and volunteers now at the ministry and at the festival. Another person came, and they heard, and it's going to happen this year. They hear a Michael W. Smith, and maybe they're an older person, and young people like him as well, but maybe they followed him through the years. And something special happens when they're in that crowd. They sense something, and they can't explain what it is. And what it is, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit calling them to a relationship with Him. So that's why we do this. We get to see God at work. We see that it's not what we're doing. We're just there facilitating and joining God in His work.
People camp out for the whole three-day event. Can they reserve spaces yet?
Yes, they can. Real festival goers are campers, is what I say. And so people can go to lifelight.org even now. Actually, there's a lot of camping reservations that are already taking place. Go on the website, click on camping. It gives you some options. Nice thing about camping is you don't have to fight the traffic. And the nice thing about camping is you get the full festival experience, and you'll be able to walk right through the gate.
Good people, good music, and good food.
Well, the nice thing about a festival, again, is it's kind of that fair, carnival, music, concert, all combined. So, yeah, lots of food vendors, lots of vendors that are displaying either nonprofit vendors or merchandise vendors, so people get a chance to do some shopping when they're there, too.
Well, it's something that you plan on taking on the road. Maybe you need to go up to the oil fields of North Dakota or Canada. Have you ever thought about
that? Would be a missions field, the oil fields of North Dakota. You know, well, that state might be booming because of the oil boom, but I know that people there are looking for something in their life. They're looking for hope beyond just the money they can get from the oil and the jobs, and so that'd be a missions field.
Al Green, you got to tell the story about how you met your wife, the B.J. Thomas.
Okay. Well, and some young people may go, "Who's B.J. Thomas?" But they would recognize the songs. You know, I won't sing "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head" or "Hooked on a Feeling," but that is what I was doing some years ago. I would be walking around the house. This would be in the early 80s, and I'd be singing some of that music, and my wife would say, "Who sings that song?" And I'd say, "Well, that's dear Vicky. That's B.J. Thomas." She said, let him sing it. And we always laugh about that. It's why I'm not a musician, but we loved music. We went on a date that night to a concert at the Sioux Falls Arena. About halfway through that concert, BJ looked at the audience and he said, "The rest of this concert is going to be from my gospel album." And he said, "There's been a change in my life." He said, "Actually, I was delivered from drugs and alcohol immediately when I gave my life to Jesus Christ." And he said, "So I invite you to check out my music at the local Christian bookstore." Well, we did, you know, and it put us on a journey. It's a journey that's been, going on 30 years now. And it put us on a journey to the music, which brought us to the Bible and the words of life. And so that was part of that journey of Christian music and music being used when we weren't expecting it. It wasn't a Christian concert. It was just hearing some of those hit songs. It'd be like today, somebody going to maybe like a Switchfoot concert and then going, "Oh, this is really cool. This music is relevant." I don't have a problem with the hymns. I appreciate the hymns. But at that point in our life as young people, we were not living a faith outside of Sunday. We weren't living beyond Sunday for the Christian faith. And that concert with B.J. Thomas grabbed our attention and caused us to do that.
A lot of stories to tell, Al Green, LifeLight.
It's LifeLight.org, but yeah.
.org. You can go
You'll just Google LifeLight. It'll come up.
You can go to Missouri in June and LifeLight on Labor Day. We'll talk to you again. I want to thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. God bless you.